Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm so excited for today's show. I've got Dr. Drew Pinsky here in the studio, and we are taking your calls. All your love and sex questions, we're going to answer them. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can check out all the amazing things we have going on here at Sex with Emily. Follow me on social media, just because we have a pretty good time here. So you want to see what's going on? You want to see all the sex toys and the fun we have here? Birthdays? We've had a lot of cake this week. No, that's not that interesting. That's not going to drive you there. How about the huge box of, what did we get this week? Lubes. Pounds of lube. It was amazing. Anyway, it's all at Sex with Emily across the board. You can also shop at my store on the website. And I just love you all. Thanks so much for listening. And I'm going to welcome my guest, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Hey there. It is fun around here. That's why I can't stay away.
I know,
right?
Keep
coming back.
You got to keep coming back.
For the pounds of lube, especially.
Dude, don't leave without pounds of lube. I got a backpack for you.
Full of lube.
Yeah.
That's
Dr.
Hysterical.
Drew, it's so awesome. Funny. So I never listen to my podcast. So I've been doing it for 12 years.
Yeah, I don't listen either. To mine, to anything I do.
Ever?
Never, almost never. My wife listens to stuff, so I sometimes hear it in the background,
right?
And I cringe.
Right, exactly. But it's not even so much because my voice, I've already gotten over the fact that my voice is like this and I say way too much. It's more like I was there and I feel like
I really have to listen.
Yeah, and if I have an hour, I want to listen to something else.
Absolutely. If I were going to evaluate myself, I'd probably listen for 5 minutes ago and I'd have many, many notes in 5 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. And then I want to change everything. So yeah. I just don't. But then, so you're coming back. You've been on the show. You were on one other time. There were two other times.
I'm sure it's
twice.
Maybe
twice.
The last time we had a really good conversation.
We had a party. That was a party. Like, that was fun.
And then you saw me speak at the human gathering.
That's
and you thought that stuff was interesting.
Exactly.
Different stuff than we were talking about.
Different stuff. But what I was going to say is, well, right, because that's what I want to talk about as well.
Okay.
I never listened, but I happened to listen to that yesterday. I was running and I was I want to listen to it because it was our top downloaded podcast because it was that good of a conversation and maybe you tweeted it. And it was really interesting. Like, we talked about female, because of course I didn't remember all the details, but like female sexuality and what are the questions that women have to ask about? Why don't women know how to connect with their body sexually?
Yeah. With that always mystified me.
Right.
Still does.
We were starting like a movement. It was just a good show. So if you guys haven't seen that one, check it out.
There is some new data, by the way, that sort of piles onto this. And it makes me think we're in a little bit of I know we're in a different historical moment here. I think anybody that doesn't sort of feel that way is not living in with the rest of us.
Right.
And some data came out of Connecticut that shows that women, although they don't say they evaluate potential partners so much by physical appearance, when they measure it now, it turns out they are, and even their moms are. So in other words, if you hold personality and character traits constant, he's nice, he's giving, he's thoughtful, he's blah, 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 hold all those things constant
right.
and show you five pictures of guys, you will pick the better looking guy for
sure.
Of
course, who wouldn't?
Well, but they say they'll do less than they would, and they actually, and the moms do a little less, but the same kind of thing. So I think in this age when we're bombarded by images of porn and pictures of right. beautiful people, it's not just affecting men anymore. So, you know, women have always complained like the body image stuff because there's so many images. Right. I think it's now translating fully over to men where they're getting these Adonis complexes, right? They're worried about how they look. You're giving me shit for worrying about my diet before.
Well, I'm like, I got M&Ms for us. And you're like, dude,
don't
you work out
that.
All the time.
Don't
we
me do it.
It's
our normal thing.
I know. We do.
But okay. And now with the choosers are also being affected, I think.
Right. The men have more. You're saying the
women
men
are being more choosy about with the physical
but
appearance.
But I feel like, I guess that women are
more.
Like.
Not that they would all never have any. In previous studies, it didn't show as much. And they reported less even than they're doing now.
That's interesting. I wonder if it does have to do with all the social.
I'm not sure what it is.
It does. Well, I would think that would always be the same with all else being equal. If empirically there's a photo of
you're
the
right.
Man.
You're right. However, it seems to be more powerful now.
Okay.
All else being equal, right.
Okay.
And they're gonna start to look at different age groups, things like that. But I think there's a little shift going on.
That's
and why not, right? Why shouldn't there be shifts?
Well, there's always shifts, I guess, going on in that. But
and that goes to what you wanted to talk about, which is that we are an embedded species. And we don't like thinking about that. We like thinking about our individualism. And we like studying individual brains and individual systems and talk about our individual experiences. But we are deeply embedded in a history and a social context.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking a lot about that these days.
So let's talk. Okay. So that's the other thing I was going to talk about is that I saw you speak at the Human Gathering Project. Is that what the human? What is it called?
TH something. The Human Gathering.
The
Human Gathering.
I was there for 3 days. And you opened it. It was random. I met the guys that who were starting it or who were a part of it, creating it. And they're like, oh, we're doing this thing tomorrow. And then they asked what I did. And I said, I did this radio show. And like, I think I heard you on Loveline. Well, actually, Dr. Drew speak. I'm like, he is. He's a good friend of mine. I'm going to show up. And I was so blown away because I've heard you speak so many times. I've watched your show.
We sat next to each other
on Loveline. And I've watched your show on HLN. And I've actually listened to more of your podcast than my own. And you were on stage and it was captivating because it's kind of like the environment was sort of like set up like a TED Talky kind of thing, right? Yeah, it was kind of thought leaders. And I don't know how much they even told you what it was. I didn't even really. They didn't.
You know, always those things, they're very difficult to define. We're going to change the world. Here's what we're going to do. We change the world. Right. I'm like, all right.
But it was through consciousness, though, and connection.
And I do want to get into it, but I did have another funny thought about it. I woke up a couple of days ago and I thought, you know what? Scientists and physicians and engineers never do those kinds of conferences. We are too goddamn busy trying to figure the facts out, figure the truth out, and apply it rather than, we're going to save the world here. We just discovered how to save the world. We're going to go do it. No, we're actually trying to actually figure this stuff out.
Are you saying like you don't do the navel gazing kind of things?
Not navel gazing. You never see physician groups going, we're going to have a gathering. We're going to figure out how to solve that. No, we're too busy actually doing it.
Well, and that was sort of one of my points. I thought you were kind of saying like, why are they wasting their time? But you're saying, in general, the physicians should be the ones who are getting together.
No, they may be wasting their time or not. I don't know. You only find business people doing that is what I'm saying.
True, because
everybody else is too busy actually applying their skill and developing their craft and stuff. And it was sort of what I was talking about too. Remember I was saying, listen, it's one person at a time. And in order to really change one person, you have to have a lot of skill and a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience. And they miss that part. They want to go solve clean water for the world, which I applaud them for. Absolutely.
I didn't get any of that. I don't even remember that part. I'm not even talking about that. See, this is why you were there, but
this is the part I didn't emphasize because I was always afraid people were going to get turned off by that. I don't mean to turn them off. I mean to say they're looking for something more. They made a bunch of money and they're looking for something more. I've seen a million of these guys.
Right. I know all these guys before they
started. And now they're like, I always get pissed off. I'm like, oh, dude, I've been making a difference for a long time and I'm very grateful to have that. I wish I had your money.
Right.
I mean, that would be fantastic for my family.
But they're talking about philanthropy and giving back and then how they've added
it's grandiose.
Money.
It's grandiose. And my point is, you really want to get that feeling of eudaimonia, which is what I was talking about, which is a certain kind of happiness. You get it one person at a time. Recovering people have it, right? They have it like crazy.
Right.
People that are in helping but professions how do you have it like crazy.
Right.
And they don't want to do that. They don't want to get the skill. They don't want to take the time. They don't, the patients, it's a really interesting thing.
But you were talking.
And I don't want to discourage them from it because I want them to solve the water problem for Africa
but
or whatever.
I think they were talking about, it was more about like, it was about consciousness and it was about like
mindfulness. Well, I was talking about that. I was, but that's, is that what they went on? They went on to talk about that?
Yes, a lot of people. I mean, no, because I told you people were talking about company culture and I'm like, oh God, do I have a good company culture? Is everyone here happy? You know, and there was some businessy stuff. Like,
you guys, so
they're pointing at the sex toy closet.
Oh, I see. They're pointing at the closet.
But like,
they're always
like,
happy.
Do I talk to my staff? You know, there was stuff like that. And there was about like businesses and making connections, but you were like on the, like there was a moment in Valerie, your publicist who's been with you for 20 years. Yeah. I did not know she was there. And then we both look at each other, run across the room. She's like, I've never seen him like this.
Right.
So it was when you were on the floor and you were like talking about how what happiness, first of all.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how, you know, it's this elusive thing and there's all these books on happiness and no one ever defines what happiness is.
Right.
And then you're saying, you know, it's actually about, you know, you were saying that you're grateful. If you're grateful a few times a day, that's what, you
that's
know, can make you happy.
That's
a sign that you
can
be happy.
And it also adds to happiness too, yeah.
It kind of adds to happiness. But then also when you were talking about, and this might be too much because we do have callers, we have things that
okay,
we're doing.
It's a word away from sex a little bit, but go ahead.
But I don't know. I just, when you were talking about your experience, I think it was with your
patient.
Therapy, rational motive therapy. Is that what, right?
Emotionally focused therapy.
Oh, God. Emotionally focused therapy. And you were talking about how you had the patient and you heard the...
Yeah, I hear these things and I feel these things. And
yeah.
It happens to me all the time, yeah.
And then that's, I think that's, but it's like the embodiment and it's the work.
Right.
And it's so a lot of what people are feeling.
Right.
They don't know what, even know what they're feeling and how it manifests in your body and how
right.
you learn to connect with people. And then you got on the floor and you were talking about our parents. You're like, if you're a parent, you have to mimic back
well,
their emotion. And then you got on
parent.
Your knees. And
well, this woman was like, how am I going to be a great parent? I'm like, do this. Get down to your kid's level. And I was trying to show and be face to face. Let your body attune. And when it does attune, guess what? Your heart rate will mirror the kid's heartbeat. Your even your hippus, your the pupillary
right.
movements in your iris will,
it was amazing.
Will actually mimic your kid. And then just stay open and reflect back on your face and appreciation of what the child's experiencing. And that little model is an exchange that we can use in everyday life.
Right.
The mirroring in our face, women do that almost automatically. They do it very
they
subtly.
Do,
they
right.
do. You're doing a little bit of it right now, even with me. And I'm acutely aware of it because I had to really do a little bit pronounced as a male in order to set the boundary and to show that appreciation of what they're experiencing. And if you remember on Celebrity Rehab, the patients used to give me shit about it and go, no, there he is with that sad face again. It's like, it's like no, I'm signaling it's a different, I'm not catching your feeling,
right.
but I am deeply appreciating your feeling. And I'm signaling you, I'm not telling you, because telling goes to a different part of the brain.
Right.
The signal goes to the deeper right-sided holistic embedded part of the relationship.
And is that something that you think as a physician you learned it or more through the therapy? Because I feel like you were talking about your therapeutic experience that allowed you to connect more
yeah,
with yourself and
correct.
Then with your patients and with everybody.
Some of my therapeutic experience as a patient, I was talking about my therapeutic environment as a practitioner.
Right.
And then I was talking about my disciple, what's the word for all, like the disciples?
Disciple?
Yeah, I was talking about all the people what were Jesus' followers called? Disciples.
Disciples,
right?
Yeah.
There's disciples out there that I am their St. Paul.
Right.
There's a guy named Peter Fonagy, whose stuff I'm describing now. There's a guy named Alan Shore. There's a guy named Stephen Porges. A guy named Dan Siegel. A guy named Bessel van der Kolk, who I forgot to mention at the
right.
at the event.
No, but
these guys, I'm telling you, these guys have worked this stuff out. And I listen and read their stuff like I'm reading the Bible. I'm just in awe of it. And so it's because deep application. It's the next 100 years. I'm telling
right.
you, it's the beginning of the next 100 years of understanding the human experience.
Right, and I think that a lot of what we talk about is we're always saying, you know, in love line, you should see a therapist.
Yeah,
you should go to therapy. You should do this. You should do that. And people, I don't know. It's just like, it was another way of showing.
That experience.
Yeah. People don't really get it. They're like, I go talk about myself and pay $300 bucks.
And there's lots of bad therapists too. And there's
so
lots
many
of
bad
cognitive
therapists.
Behavioral therapies, which have an evidentiary sort of practice associated with them. They work for short-term problems. But really, I think I said this, we should have a different sort of term for this sort of finding meaning, fully evolving mental
health
stuff.
That's where it's all right. But I think that a lot of it is about your thoughts.
It is, but it's not mental health. It's like mental evolution or something. It's mental
realization.
It's
mindfulness.
No, it's realization rather than health. self-realization again. We're back
but
to
just
that.
As important, I don't know. Okay, it's let's this is what I
but
just
all our craziness question. Comes out in relationships. Nowhere does relationships come out more than and no craziness come out than in relationships.
That's why we all need a little bit of therapy. Yeah. Like I have a hard time, I think, too, with people who dating someone who hasn't, and I think we have a lot of callers today that we can help along that line. But what I want to talk to you about first is a little sex in the news.
Oh.
I want to talk to you about the dick click.
The what? The oh, when your ligament clicks.
No. That's not the dick click. Oh. It's new. This was in the news today. You might have, you were probably doing 16 radio shows. No, dude, listen to this. So there are plenty of male contraceptives in development at the moment, but a new switch device has been revealed, which may be the strangest of the lot. A new device called the dick click works in the same way as a vasectomy, but it's like an alternative.
Yeah.
It operates via surgically inserted valves.
No, I'm aware of this one.
Do you know this?
Yeah,
and there's
yeah.
literally a click on your penis that would, they could be like, I want the sperm on. I want the sperm off.
It's not
Who's going to remember to do
not,
it?
It's not had been fully
what
researched.
What if you're
it's
really
not,
drunk not, or something?
I know. And reversible vasectomies have been tried a million times and they're sort of.
They don't work or they do what we were talking about before. I'm like, do they work?
They don't work reliably. And this is a company that really doesn't have the research yet to say they're going to be able to do this.
Have you seen the pictures of it? Have you seen the pictures of it?
What's going on with your hands?
Why?
Why are they red?
I don't know.
Is that
new? Are they red? No, I didn't even.
Do your hands get cold when you put in the refrigerator?
Yeah.
You have Raynos.
Oh, I brushed my teeth. That can't be it.
It could be.
I brushed my teeth with hydrocortisone by mistake earlier. Would that do it?
Nah.
That's, I mean, I spit
pretty,
it out right
that's
away.
That's pretty smart, though. No, your hands turn, your hands turn
same
white
the
when they get in the refrigerator, freezer? During a break, we're going to go stick your hands in the freezer and see what happens.
Wait,
do they
wait.
Hurt when you get in the cold?
Sometimes, yeah, but I avoid the cold like the plague.
Because your hands.
Do you think I have that Raynaud's syndrome?
That's what I think. That's what that looks like.
Because they're red like that?
I've never noticed that before.
Oh, my God. I don't know. It's pretty. I don't know what it is, Drew. God. I'm glad it's not the hydrocortisone.
I feel all hot there. Like push them against. I don't mean. That my arm is warm and yours.
I am hot.
Yeah. No, you're not. You're just your hands. Because look.
They are warm. And I'm usually
freezing.
Your
arm is not. Your arm is not.
I wish you could all see this. This is fascinating. Okay. Well, I'm feeling good.
Good. It's not. Raynaud's is as an isolated thing. It's not a big deal.
My mom has it.
So there you go. It tends to be.
But I never had it. But now I'm just becoming my mother in every way, shape, and form. I'm going to start talking like this.
No,
like,
that is not going to happen. I promise you that's not going to happen. You passed that window.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so this thing probably won't happen. I won't want to take responsibility for this at all. But
it's a good idea.
I just want to show you the switch, you guys. We'll put this on our website, but look at this.
Yeah.
They put the switch in their scrotum.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally. That doesn't work.
That kind
Men
of thing.
Men won't take responsibility
well,
for that
no,
anyway.
When you look at the penis implants, the penis pumps,
yeah.
they're kind of like devices like this. But that's a lot of hardware. It's not a minor thing. It's a big deal. So yeah, I had read about that and started like, it's not going to, probably not going to happen.
None of this could happen. The male pill won't happen because men were
male
like,
pill
I
will
might
happen.
Get cramps.
No, male pill.
I have a headache. Side
no,
effect.
No, male pill will happen. Something like that will happen because it's not about, they cannot do it hormonally in men. You can't
but
do it.
They can't stop the sperm.
Right. You can't. So it's going to be some sort of blocking agent, either blocks capacitance. And before the sperm can penetrate the egg, it has to do something called capacitance.
Right.
The head of the sperm has to change in a certain way that helps it penetrate. So it's either going to interrupt with the movement of the tail or the capacitance, I think.
And you think it's really going to happen?
Someday. It's take a while.
I just feel like that we're spending so much time on the female pills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That they're not going to. That men wouldn't take it. They wouldn't be responsible. I don't know. Okay, that's another thing. Should we get some calls, Drew? Is there anything else going on in your world?
Oh, finally. No. I was going to say, finally, they have some. Finally, they're admitting, guess what? Oral contraceptives cause depression in female. Oh, my God.
They're just saying that?
They're just really sort of coming out with it in a big way. And it's like, no. How many times on Loveline do we say, are you on the shot? Are you on progesterone pills?
Every day.
Right. That's right.
Why don't they warn women at all? I would think that there's more information now, but now we know the fact. I mean, Anna
screws their libido up.
Everything.
Oh, my God. Anna. Did Anna have a problem with this?
Anna? No. Did I say Anna?
I thought that's what you said.
Oh, no. I said, and on the last show. No, but Anna, I don't know if Anna did. But when I was on the last show, we were talking about how women have no information about sex. They're disconnected from their bodies. They, younger girls, like when they're first having sex.
Still now?
Yes, we talked. So you're like me. See, I didn't remember either why everyone loved the show.
Because
everyone here loved it too with us. So I was like, okay, I'll listen. Yes, I ran. I'm like, I'm going to listen to the show. And I'm like, this was pretty good. We talked all about how women don't under. I still don't remember.
I'm sure what I was talking about, though, was how mystified it makes me that in this day and age, how that's possible.
That's what I was upset because I had family and friends who have kids who are 17 and they're like, sex hurt. I don't understand sex. I don't masturbate. Gross. And it hurts inside of me. The penis, the condom. Ew. And they don't understand. They don't understand sexuality. They don't understand why they should masturbate. They don't even know why to. They don't want to be vulnerable, so they don't even want relationships with anybody, so they're just having sex to please the guy. Nothing's changed, because I felt that way.
Right. And you, that means there's something biological in this, right? And so we have to, there's a difference. And guess what, everybody, men and women are different biologically. So you have to help them with that biology. You have to treat the men, you're trying to get them not to do something.
Right.
Like, but you can't get them to stop. And the females, you're trying to get them to engage with it, to be a part of it.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny. I saw something on, do you ever watch that show? Oh, this is way out of your demo, but Frankie and the
Jane Fonda thing. Because everyone's talking about it. Yeah, I've seen one episode.
Okay, well, Susan loves it. My wife loves that show. And in there, they eventually get a vibrator business. It reminds me of you a million times. The second, third season, they really get into this vibrator business. And one of the character, a male, young male's female partner, they have sex. They do it for a long time. She says it's great. And he leaves the vibrator behind, the mom's vibrator device, which is supposedly this wonderful, super special device.
They are super special.
I'm sure something like that exists in your closet already.
We'll get some treats.
Yeah. And he hears her, after they've had this long session, masturbating and making a different sound, and it freaks him the hell out. And I thought, oh, that is so much about the man. And he confronts her. He goes, look, how come I couldn't make it? This is like the man. We want you to have the ultimate experience with our penis.
Right, exactly.
How
that's
come,
it.
How come you? Well, I couldn't. He was like so upset. She goes, oh, no, it's not better. It's just different. We're like, okay, here's what I heard. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. And it wasn't my penis. My penis was not in the room.
But we have, when you say it's different and it sounds more intense, we just hear, we missed out. We didn't hit it right. It's weird. And we can't imagine. We can't imagine that there's an equivalent experience that's better or good that's not about orgasmic intensity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're fully in that sort of biological zone in our sexuality.
No, that's true.
Even though we appreciate the connection, we like the intimacy and stuff, in terms of the orgasm part, there's an orgasm. It's either intense or super intense, and that's it.
And if it's super intense and you weren't there and it was different, then the ego, it's the ego too.
It's more than ego, because it's not
biology.
But it's a language we don't understand. Because I still, as someone who tries to be very attuned to all that, I really don't understand. I watched that scene. I went, I have no idea what she's talking about. And yet that's a real thing. I know that's a real thing.
You say,
I really don't know what she's talking about.
It would be like if you used, let's say, a fleshlight, like a male masturbation sleep. Like all you could think about is like, that's still your hand though. I mean, I guess a vibration doesn't feel.
No.
You're just saying having an orgasm with a vibrator, not a penis, is not. What do you?
No. See, you don't understand what I'm saying.
I don't understand the way you don't understand.
Right. That's the craziness here.
Men are from Mars.
Men will have more intense experience based on who they're with, novelty, what their eyes are perceiving, and what you're experiencing.
Right.
That's the rest.
Is that, is there anything I need to do with the vibrator? I'd rather be with a man and like.
More noise than the vibrator. I'm already jealous. More noise than the vibrator. What are you talking? Huh?
Maybe my orgasm. Maybe you said the orgasm sounded different on the TV.
I know. And you just said you make more noise than the vibrator.
I'm
jealous for your partners. I'm immediately jealous.
I make a lot of noise.
Right? Am I right? Look, there's another man sitting here.
You'd be jealous. Right.
Yes. It's weird. And there's no reason. I understand it's totally
irrational. But what about when you masturbate? Isn't it different? Like,
no. It's just whatever we're looking at. It's what we're looking at.
Yeah, but then how couldn't we? But if women are threatened all the time by male masturbating. They're like, I don't understand. Why is looking at
that threatened. We're hurt. We're disappointed, right?
But women are disappointed all the time by their partners who watch porn. They're like, oh my God, does he want me to?
They're threatened. We're not threatened. We're like, why? I'm hurt. Why can't I do that?
Because you don't vibrate. But you just can't. Well,
let's do it. Let's do it.
There's actually ones that can attach to your penis, your fingers. We could turn your penis into wrap something around it.
Yeah, but then you guys won't bring it all together like
no,
that.
No, we
you
would.
Then you go, no.
Until you left, and then we take it off and we leave that here. Let me take it off your penis before you walk out the door. I know. It's all very confusing.
God,
okay, we're gonna take some calls.
All right, let's do it.
But this is a good time.
Right? We didn't talk about this at all, and it caught my attention yesterday.
No, we didn't. I was just saying we talked about women and sexuality and how confused they are. But no, we... I don't.
But this is the that difference that is a perceptual difference.
And we're not teaching kids.
Well,
about
but it's the perceptual difference is so profound that we don't understand what each other are talking about. And here you and I are trying to and open to it, and we can't do it because it is such a different experience for men and women.
I know. So people have to go easy on themselves, I think, too, because it's like relationships. It's going to be a challenge if you choose to be with a member of that.
But
sex,
that's just
right?
The sexuality part. I mean, then you layer in all of our histories and psychologies and interpersonal craziness. Then here we go.
That's why I'm really happy living alone with my 16 vibrators. Truly, and dating. And then I have a choice to go home. Okay,
You're
we're going to.
Anybody interesting? Well,
no, not yet. I have like 3 days.
I hope they're listening.
They are listening. Here's the problem. So I'm dating guys. I'm meeting
if they
guys.
Weren't, if they weren't upset enough about knowing they couldn't give you the certain sound with their penis, now they're truly crushed. Well
I
done,
know.
Ellie. Well
different
done.
Different sounds.
That was a little,
like
that was a little castrating ball buster. I never knew that.
Women make different noises too. Like you know, like evolutionarily speaking, wasn't it when they were with a man, a different man, it was like their mating call. Like the more sound, when they're made noises louder, screams, it was because their partner was coming home and they were like, you know, they were like, we're talking about like cavemen when they would.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why, like, it's all about like mating calls.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm like mating call with my vibrator.
No, I understand. But it's something that your actual mates are concerned about.
They are listening, some of them, but because they find out what I do.
I know.
And then they listen. And then he's like, so you're going to bring his lube? He sent me like an emoji. He sent me an eggplant emoji as a joke today. I have a date tonight. And then he's like, I wish there was a lube emoji. I'm like, we've never met. And you're talking to me about lube, but you've been listening to my podcast.
How inappropriate. How dare
Should
he?
Cancel? What are you doing tonight?
I'm always getting you to cancel dates. I don't know.
I know. Okay. So, Drew, drdrew.com, by the way. Is
oh,
that
yeah,
still what we
you.
Said, everyone?
Please. Yes, yes.
I wouldn't
please.
Have known that had not listened to our yesterday's podcast.
All our
it's really
podcasts.
Interesting to what? Listen. Yeah. To listen about drdrew.com. You've a million podcasts, which just go there and
fill
it
got
out.
This life, got Weekly Infusion. We have Dr. Drew podcast. We have the Me and Adam podcast. So if you have anybody Adam, fans Dr. of Loveline out there, Adam and I are still together.
There are.
We're contemplating, Mike and I are contemplating doing one.
They've been a podcast?
Because a lot of people are like,
Mike Atherwood,
Loveline,
who was the other host. Yeah, a lot of people, we have a lot of international listeners who might not know about Loveline. Okay. So you guys are going to do another podcast in your spare time.
Yeah.
You could just do it at the KABC or whatever, right?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, good point.
Okay, good. Should we give a shout out to our sponsors and we'll be right back? Thank you everyone for listening to the show and thank you for supporting our sponsors. We love them and we only like talk about people and work with brands and sponsors that we actually use, try, believe in, and we hope you will too. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, so we're going to take calls because we have people. Our first call is from Australia. And
awesome.
He spoke up, but he's been waiting for us to call.
Fantastic.
So let's do that. Jeremy, he's 23 from Australia, and he's got some condom conundrums.
Ooh,
hey, Jeremy. I'm here with Dr. Dupinsky, my special guest.
Is condom conundrum a new phrase?
Hello.
I just made it up.
It's a good one. It should be a little corner. Condom conundrums.
The condom conundrums, yeah.
I like it.
Hi, Jeremy.
The condom conundrum. Nice.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Hello. Thank you for calling from Australia.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're our first call.
Thank you. I'd just like to say, long time listener, first time caller. I love your work.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for listening to your podcast, I'd be doing everything wrong because of, you know.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
You get from porn.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. You can't learn from porn. You can enjoy porn. Not going to judge you, but you're not going to learn from it. Oh, Jeremy,
so,
I'm glad you found us.
I did just have kind of my first sexual experience recently. And I think everything was going all right. You know, foreplay was really enjoyable for both of us. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I go to put on the plastic and, yeah, my boner just sort of...
It just goes limp.
...dies away.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
She's kind of looking at me and I'm looking at her. It's really awkward.
I got it. This happens. We're going to help you.
Okay. How old are you?
23.
23. And this was your very first attempt at intercourse?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a dirty little secret that the majority of men have some type of major sexual dysfunction in their first outing.
Yep.
It's just absolutely going to happen. And many times that's merciful for your female partners, provided it's not delayed ejaculation.
Right.
But you can have delay, you can have premature, you can have erectile dysfunction, you can have pain. Any form of sexual dysfunction is exceedingly common first time out and seemingly out of the blue.
Right.
You don't feel anxious, you're having a good time, and all of a sudden nothing's working. You have somebody else's penis all of a sudden.
Right.
Now, right? Is that what it felt like?
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, this was just the first time. I mean, I want to clear it up. This was just one time it happened. Is that what you're saying? Or did it happen several times?
A couple of times now.
Okay.
Oh. And
yeah,
so
a couple times.
So every time. Okay. So the next time you worry it's going to happen again, it can make it
then
happen
that
again.
That becomes
right.
a thing. Even
a lot of men have difficulty sustaining erection when they put a condom on. That's
right.
Just a chronic problem for some men. Mm-hmm. And what we've always told people, remember we used to tell people on Loveline?
What'd we tell them?
We would tell them to practice.
To practice on their own.
I'm certain you practice skateboarding and surfing and a million other things. Practice when you masturbate. Uh-huh. Practice putting a condom on without losing your erection and masturbate with the condom
on. Exactly.
Tune your penis up to the condom. You know, find the one that works for you and find one that's good. But practice putting it on and then practicing what it feels like having a experience with the condom on with your whatever Emily devices you're using
No, I think that's a really good point. I remember that, to practice with the condom, because I think you've had sex a few times and you remember, like, it does. It's true. If you the first time you came too quickly or you got limp and then you're like, oh, it's going to happen again. The other thing is, I'm not sure what kind of condom you're using, but there's so many kind of condoms out there right now that it could be the wrong size. You might not have enough lubrication. My favorite, you've heard me talk about skin condoms, SKYN. They're polyisoprene. They're non-latex. They are the best condoms.
Did you say skin?
Yeah. SKYN.
Okay. I've heard of those.
I'm sure they have. Yeah. Right? They're by Lifestyles. Like, Lifestyles makes great condoms too, but they're like a,
brand.
Their brand underneath the Lifestyles brand. And they're amazing. And so I think even just switching it up, get like a variety pack online, go to my website. I think we have a bunch of them on my website, but you're in Australia. Do we mail to Australia? I'm not sure. We do. Awesome. So check them out. Try it. It's all this stuff, getting new information, practicing, and getting new condoms. You're going to be fine.
Your female partner.
She doesn't care. Is that what you say?
No, she either is having one of two experiences. She doesn't care and she feels bad for you. But there's always a little twinge of, he's not that attracted to me. They always have that weird, and it's never about that.
Right.
In fact, the erectile dysfunction is more likely to occur when the guy's too attracted, too into it. The anxiety then makes you know, not work.
That's true. She's thinking, perhaps she could be thinking, he's not hard enough.
So you got to reassure.
Right. I gained 3 pounds.
Because I'm so into you. I gained 3 pounds.
Yeah, tell her how she is.
I'm
going to
worry about the wrong stuff. Oh, my God.
That's what we could do another show on, too. Body image. But it's true. Yeah, so she's not thinking it, but I would reassure her. Tell her, you know, don't just ignore it if it happened 3 times to the same person, because she knows she was there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Well, normally we, intercourse just, you know, goes off the table and we just sort of play around instead. But
that's great, good. Too. Huge fan of foreplay.
I can try practicing. Yeah.
Try practicing. I love it.
Oral
try skin
sex,
condoms.
Where you're going anyway with this.
Yeah.
Moral
make sure the right size and all that.
For her.
Okay, let me
not
know how
for
it goes.
You necessarily. For her.
Okay.
That's my credo to all men.
Thank you.
All males.
Bye. Wait, what?
All males, more oral sex for female partners.
Dude, yes.
Right? I mean,
yes.
Don't be ridiculous.
Right,
Michael, except for that 5% that's stealing all the orgasms that don't like oral sex and like intercourse.
I don't even know who those women are. You've
they're
said
very
that.
Rare. They're,
I know.
They're,
I feel
they're
like it was
unicorns.
Something you made up.
No.
Because now other people are like, well, she must just, yeah, she
no,
must
in
be
my
have
field
too many
work,
orgasms.
In my field
in
work.
In your field work. Women, I know. I don't really think you made it up.
Uh-uh.
You wouldn't make stuff up like that. I might. Our next call is Amy. She's 29 from Seattle, and her boyfriend wants more sex than she does.
What? Never. God.
Hey, Amy, this is Emily, and I have special guest Dr. Drupinski here. We're both here to help.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Welcome to the show.
So, mismatched sexual desire, probably the most common problem that a couple ever gets,
right?
Sexually, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. And the first thing to ask always is, what's he looking for and what are you looking for? What are the actual numbers?
He would be happy with twice a day, probably, if not more.
Oh, my God.
Realistic.
I'm happy with like maybe 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay.
Well, that's, see,
yeah,
that's, I would say that's pretty fair. I would say normal.
Yeah. So
when that's pretty good.
When guys go crazy like that, yeah, that's pretty crazy rate. It's not, I wouldn't call it abnormal, but it's like, huh, even that, either that guy's got an amazing engine, which some guys just do. That's just their rhythm.
How old is he?
32.
Okay.
But at more often than not, there's something else going on. When it's really at that rate where you go, oh my God, how could you even physically do it? Then you worry about manic episodes, like you have hypomanic. Does he have bipolar disorder? Anybody like that in his family?
Nope, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And then sex addiction is the other thing we kind of think about when somebody's really going at it to a point where it's physically like almost impossible. Now, or it's just him. And there is such a thing as just that at twice a day. So
what do you, does any of this resonate with you at all, Amy? Cause I feel like, how is he handling it when you're like, no, I don't want to have it twice a day. Like, is this a fight? Are you guys, is he like, that's cool? Like, how are you guys dealing with this?
It doesn't always escalate to a fight, but it definitely is a tense area in our relationship. And he takes it personally. Like, he thinks that it's not, like, I don't want to be with him. Like, why wouldn't I want?
Right.
Every time a woman says no to
we
sex,
always do. We always do. We always do. And we have to get used to it chronically, because every one of us males gets in that position where their female partners are saying no. God forbid if we turn them down once, they'll freak the hell out. But we get used to it.
What happens when you try to talk about this?
It really depends, but he's really open. We've been best friends for over 4 years. We communicate really well, but it's hard for him not to let his testosterone take over, and he gets kind of frustrated and kind of angry. And not in a violent way, but just like you can tell he's like, he isn't getting what he wants, and therefore he gets frustrated. Yeah.
Really, it is about compromise. It's about saying we got to talk about this, because that's just not going to happen twice a day. But maybe if you have expectations about when it is going to happen.
What are you able to maintain? What are you actually pulling off for him, so to speak?
5 days or 4 or 5?
Probably right around 4 or 5 times a week.
Well, okay. So,
what I'm happy with.
Yeah, but maybe you got to meet him in the middle a little bit, right? Maybe
that
you
got to. The middle.
No, that's what she wants. Maybe she's got to go beyond what she wants and do a little bit more,
so
right?
5 times
a week. Why should it be only what she wants?
Right.
Because, like, life, yeah. I mean, so what would that be? That would be
6 or 7
days a week.
Yeah. I think you would.
I'm trying to balance and make sure I get, like, my personal time in too. Like, I really like just going to bed early.
You know what?
Sometimes I just want to do me.
There was some research came out that showed that partners will take sleep over sex most times. And I found that.
They'll take sleep over sex?
They'll prefer, when they're tired, they'll choose sleep over sex. And I thought to myself, that's a mistake. I understand it. I get it. But it's not, you need to prioritize your relationship.
Well, I always say you got to prioritize your sex life in relationship. It really is important. Is this the guy you're going to be with? You think you're going to get married? Have children, spend the rest of your life with them?
Yep, that's the plan.
Okay, well, if that's the plan, then this is the most important thing.
Because
when there's
a
problem with sex, if there's a problem with sex in the relationship, there's going to be problems all over the relationship. So I think you guys do have to find a healthy way without fighting, with, really communicate, just say, we've got to talk about this. If it's a compromise, or if it's like, you're not going to get it every time you want it, but maybe it's like, maybe it's twice on Saturdays or something, like the weekend when you're not tired, or you adjust the times. You get up a little earlier so you can sleep at night. But it is about compromise, and it is about talking about it so he doesn't get frustrated. He knows what to expect. Scheduling sex, I always thought it was a horrible idea, but I know that it can actually work. It could take a lot of the pressure off you, laugh of him. So,
but don't. This is the one I hate.
What?
Don't schedule it and then bag out.
Yeah, you can't bail on a sex date. You can't bail on a sex date. Yeah, but I just think you guys have to find a way of communicating to him about this in a healthy way, without anger, without escalation. When you're not in the home, when you're not having bed,
and again, you need to step it up a little bit, and then you need to look at him honestly. Like, is he sort of hypomanic? Hypomania is not a bad thing, but our president's hypomanic.
Does he masturbate?
And there are other things he can do to take care of himself. Right. And ask him, like, hey, you need to take some responsibility for your own sexuality too. You can't.
Twice a day to me is a little. I'm sorry, but
excessive.
I would think like it is. I don't think she has to step up to that.
if she gets 6 or 7 times a week. I bet he settles down, number one.
I'm exhausted.
And then number two, there's something we don't talk about enough, is that we shouldn't be burdening our partners with the totality of our sexual needs, whatever that might be. In other words, that's kind of unfair.
That's why the vibrator. Why are you guys so upset that I'm using the vibrator without you?
It's what it sounds like when you do the vibrator.
Don't listen. Sorry, Amy. We were talking about how vibrators, men don't get with it. They just feel different, not better than
no,
you.
No,
just
no, no. Yeah,
and I get you on your self-love time. So I think there's a way to talk to him about this that's like, you probably having the same conversation over and over again. It's not going anywhere. So it's like taking it out of the house when you guys are like, you know, not in the bedroom, and just saying, listen, I love you. We've got to find a way to work this out through compromise, without you getting angry. Buy him a fleshlight, you know, give him time to masturbate, do his own thing. So you're both like satisfied, which I think you can do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the key.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Amy. So glad to talk to you. Bye. That is a big, that I would say that is one of the top questions we get asked about mismatch libidos all the time. And it's men and women.
Like, and to me, it's bizarre that people aren't aware that that's likely to happen. They sort of prepare for it, work it out, and figure it out and stuff.
None of these things. People are a huge fan, but they ask every day. Every day. That's what's going to help them.
I know.
That's why we're here on the planet. Okay. Next call is Marie, 33, from Boston. And she wants to know how to have pleasurable sex during pregnancy. Hi, Marie. Oof. I'm here with Dr. Drupinski, my special guest today. So we're both here to help you with this.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
We're so good. So tell me what's going on.
Yeah, and I'm super excited about the guest as well. So
yeah,
hello.
It's a good. Drew, she's excited about you. Yeah, you got it?
Hey there.
Hi.
She may be one of that 1% I was just talking about.
What? Okay, Drew's, okay, tell us what's going on. Drew's already jumping to conclusions about you here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. And first of all, can you hear me okay? I'm using my headphones.
You sound great. You sound amazing.
Okay, great. So, basically, so right now I'm 20 weeks pregnant. I'll be 21 weeks on Friday.
Okay.
I found out on, it was week 19, so it'll be 2 weeks ago Friday, so the baby's fine. We had the full-on ultrasound. Everything with the baby is perfect. My health is great. So that is a huge plus. But one thing we found out is I have a condition called placenta previa.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say. That's the one time you got to be extra super careful with all this.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Exactly.
Have they forbidden intercourse because of it?
They have.
Okay. So and let's just tell everybody. Placenta previa is where the placenta, it's not in the right position. Not right. It's in an unusual position, so it lies over the cervix. And as such, if you stimulate the cervix, you can start bleeding and cause all kinds of problems. You don't want to disrupt the attachment of the placenta.
Right. So you can't. So yeah, your issue is that you can't have intercourse. And you're trying to figure out what else to do, right?
I told you this is somebody that likes intercourse.
You did say that.
Yes. I am.
And this is somebody who orgasms with intercourse.
Do you orgasm through intercourse?
I do.
And you have more than one orgasm typically, right?
Typically one.
One. Okay.
But I do, it is like a build, like smaller orgasms up into like a bigger like orgasm.
Right. Okay. And has any of that changed during pregnancy?
It has not actually, and I will say I do feel more stimulated.
Yeah, it's going to get even.
Pregnant.
It's going to get even more in the third, you know, later on.
But your question is about how you guys can really connect now that you can't have intercourse.
No, here's the problem. So you got to zero in on this. She's in the category that doesn't really like the oral sex so much. You see?
Do you not like oral sex?
So I do, but not as much. So what I want to really get down to is. You know how I can. I just feel like.
So hold on. Wait, so hold on. So Emily, that's why.
Sorry, this is Marie.
That's why I brought this up.
Okay, when Drew and I were in Love Line, or his whole life in Love Line, he says that women. There's a lot of women who don't love oral sex.
Not a lot of women. Not a women. A tiny minority.
Tiny minority of women.
They prefer intercourse and they orgasm with intercourse more readily.
And when they have, but I thought you were saying that you said these women don't like oral.
No, the ones that are super sensitive, that have multiple orgasms.
That's what I meant.
They find oral sex unpleasant.
That's the part.
This young lady's in the middle. This lady's in the middle.
Okay, fine. You're in the middle. She
prefers.
I'm trying to prove a point because I told him, okay. Drew, let's...
Look, everyone, they're all snowflowers, honey.
They're snowflakes. Vaginas are snowflakes and we all have our own challenges and they're beautiful.
But see, what the problem is with her, she can't insert and can't do all that stuff that really gives a real orgasm. She can only do external stimulation, which is not as satisfying to her.
Right.
So...
Exactly. And also I find, you know, I... love my husband to death and I, you know, we have great sex and we've had great sex throughout our relationship. So this is it's a huge thing to lose that. And he tries to, you know, reassure me it's not all about that. And I get it. And he's been really good about it. And for me, it's just, I feel like with that lacking, like without that, it may affect our relationship. Or,
No.
See, that's what I wanted. Yeah. He's going to be fine.
No,
like, if you're okay with it.
Good men get their shit together when he is protecting you and treating
you
like the vulnerable person, you know, in this vulnerable state you're in. If he's responding to all that, believe me, that his whole brain shifts into that mode. So
absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't be. And also, we also have a blog that we just put on our website this week. Helena, who works with me, she's actually pregnant, and she just did a lot of toy recommendations, and it's about a pregnancy sex blog. And she might be
put in the placenta preview thing too, so people, you know.
So anyway, it gives you a lot of like ideas about which toys to use, which positions are more comfortable. But I really think because in your email you were saying when you initially contacted us, you were like, you were really worried about your husband more than you, because you're okay, you're getting pleased, but I feel like. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Fine.
You're with him.
He's gonna be fine.
It's not gonna damage your relationship.
No.
You're totally fine.
That helps because
I swear to God.
Like, because I'm not able to give him like the actual set, and he reassures me. He's like, I'm fine. Like I can go a while without it. Like,
oh no,
he's fine, honey. You give him blowjob. You use a fleshlight.
We need to study this one. She's like the perfect wife. She's like the perfect.
I know. She's really. The whole email was about she's worried he's gonna leave.
No. He can't have if that's your worry, that's
not leave, but it's gonna ruin the relationship.
No. Yeah.
But she thought he's gonna be really upset, and I feel like there's a lot of other ways to connect.
But it's different when. It's different when you're just not into it.
It's not like you have a headache for 6 months.
Right. You have extremely important medical needs that are being attended to that are prioritized. And believe me, he will share that priority with you.
Yeah, fleshlight, blowjobs, you're fine. He's going to be happy. Hand jobs.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Lots of lube. You're good. Yeah.
No, thank you. And we are doing those things. And over the last couple of weeks, when this has just settled, I have felt better. But I feel like I did. I'm so glad that you responded because, or at least to my email, because I feel like a lot of women out there have this or cannot have sex during pregnancy.
Then
they're wondering, you know, what else I can do. And it's just something that's not, I didn't even know this was a condition before I got pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even know. Yeah.
You guys have to figure it all out as you're going along. You're like,
trust me, there are many medical things out there, many medical wondrous things
that's true.
Waiting to interfere with your sexuality.
Right. No, I know. Honey, just stick with it. And again, we have this great blog on our site we just published, and you should check that out. We'll tweet it out this week, but you can go to our website now. And I just wish you luck, and don't
worry,
honey, he loves you. Yeah.
Thank you. And one quick thing for Dr. Drew is, are orgasms still, like my doctor doesn't seem to be worried about the orgasms with this condition. And if you read things online, they're like, stay away from orgasming. And I just wanted to,
I'm not an obstetrician, but that's not, usually the actual disruption, you know, the mechanical disruption rather than the contractions associated with orgasm. So unless you really have a very unstable placenta previa, and you certainly always ask your doctors or ask the nurse who picks up at their service, whatever, and just double check. But I don't think there'd be any problem with that as long as you're not inserting anything.
Yeah. Just no insertion for a little bit.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Awesome.
Bye, Marie. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, so there's your 1-2% maybe.
She's in the middle. But I've always said there's a middle zone too.
I know. I was just
and
I
she's
don't
that middle zone.
Made it up.
Yeah. No, I did not. I
know.
How did I know? How did I know?
You just know the woman. Like before they speak, you know her vagina.
No,
like the vagina whisperer. No, being here.
Too many years on the radio.
I know. I got it. Yeah, pregnant sex. It's like this whole mystery. Because when else would you study pregnant sex until you're pregnant? So
what is the purpose of all this sex stuff anyway? If not to reproduce and have a pregnancy,
right.
There's that. That's one of the. I'll grant you,
Drew. What am I doing with my life?
Well, your pleasure and your intimacy, and all this stuff too. But
pleasure,
I'm glad you're blogging about it because that's good because that's going to get people
absolutely.
Need that information. I've encouraged you over the years to do certain.
Have a baby? Just kidding. No, what? You have not encouraged me to do that.
No, I've encouraged you to include in this conversation things about medical conditions and sexuality and stuff because that's, it's common.
Very common. And the pain, a lot of women feel so much pain during sex.
Yeah, and people don't think about pregnancy as a medical condition, but it is.
It is a medical condition, right? That's what we're doing. And Helena's, pregnant. She's very interested. We've given her lots of toys. She's keeping very busy.
What's the best one? She's tired. What's the best one? Best toy?
Magic wand. It's magic. Yeah. It's magic. And the C-ring. And did you try the Wish yet? I'm obsessed, Drew.
The Wish?
The Wish.
Get out of the closet, somebody.
It's amazing. Literally, so,
anytime Emily shows, oh my God, I got to see what it is.
You understand? It's a clitoral vibe, but it's. Do you know the clitoris has legs?
Yes.
Like there's the legs.
Yes, it's like a little octopus.
Right. So it's your internal and external clitoral nerves.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm all about. Like the labia you put.
Yeah,
It's squishy and soft. It's by WeVibe.
Oh, yeah,
I'm obsessed with it.
Okay.
Remember, I love the Jeju Mimi.
Yes. This is like a mushy version of that.
This is a mushy, bigger, more clitorally stimulating vibe that I would change my middle name to Wish. It's Hope right now. I was like, forget Hope. It's going to be Emily Wish.
Okay.
Morse.
Is this rechargeable?
Yeah. Do you want it?
Yeah.
Okay. We knew it. Just don't lose the charger. Okay. Not you.
No.
I hear from his wife. Can we get a charger to things again? Just from Susan.
Yes. She can't keep track of one charger.
I know.
So all these things you give us, if they don't have...
Should I put a label on it?
If they're not battery operated, we quickly...
But they don't make the battery operated ones. They're not as powerful and fun. We've got R. He's 40 in Miami, and he feels stuck with dating, and he's falling for women where he's clear he's not necessarily their first choice.
Ooh,
hi, R. Interesting. I know. I'm here with Dr. Drew Pinsky, my special guest today. So you've got two of us here to help you through this.
Hi, how are you?
Dating challenges. Hi, what's going on?
Kind of stuck in, I guess, the eternal friendship.
The friend zone.
I don't know if it's, you know, we've got great chemistry. We talk a lot, and this is one person in particular.
Okay.
We met through a dating app 3 years ago and dated for a while. Nothing really happened there. And she got back together with her boyfriend, and there's a lot of relationship trauma there that has continued on over.
Okay.
Yeah, but she
over the two or three years.
Stop thinking you're going to rescue her from that. Yeah. Stop it.
You're acting like a definitely. Friend. She's going to treat you like a friend. See, that's how you get into the friend zone. When you start being a friend.
Also, women put you in the friend zone, and once you're there, you are there.
Yeah, but you could avoid. Yes, that's true. Yeah, you're not going to get out of it. Like, are you in love with her, and you think she's going to all of a sudden get through all this men stuff and come to you? Because that probably won't happen.
No, I mean,
even if it does happen, when it does, when they retreat to the friend, it only lasts a few months, and then really shatters the guy.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, got to be honest. That. Yeah. Listen, I just feel like for guys, and this is a lot of your own work to do on yourself, but really women, when we see you as a friend, you start acting, you said you talk on the phone for hours and maybe you put the gas in our car or you did this errand and you listen.
I'm going to be a little harsher. Friend. I'm going to look a little harsher.
Go, Drew.
Because we're seeing a lot of this in millennials right now. And it's, let's call it what it is. It's stalking behavior. That's what it is. It's stalking light. It's you're stalking her in hopes of cultivating a relationship one day, and she has no idea that's what you're doing. She just thinks you're the friend, and it is a little obsessive. It is, and if you can settle for just friend, you want to be just a friend, that's fine. But don't kid yourself that it's part, because if you're cultivating, if you're grooming,
call him a stalker.
What it is. It's stalking behavior. I'm not calling him a stalker.
Women, okay.
It's stalking behavior.
I understand. Do you feel okay?
And it's unhealthy for him. I don't want him stuck.
I think it's unhealthy for you.
I can
understand
that.
Yeah. No, I understand for you that it is unhealthy to keep hanging out unless you're getting a laugh from him and she's helping you as well with your issues and whatever's going on with your life, and it's like a mutually beneficial relationship. But if you're just kind of, you're there and you're the friend, but you're waiting and you're pining away for her.
And this is a sort of a typical construct.
It is typical.
Which is the woman who goes after the powerful, abusive male repeatedly because of dad. That's her relationship with dad. And she keeps in the bullpen the guy she should be with and just keeps him there because she knows she should be, and she needs that kind of connection on hand. It's exploitative of the man. I don't want to, she's guilty too, but he's in the meantime falling for it and stalking.
What do you think about this? How does that make you feel? Does that resonate with you at all?
I can see some of it. I definitely see her as a good friend and probably one of my best friends. I don't necessarily... Stalking, I think, might be a little bit hard.
No, I think he's just saying in general, like that the fact that it's not reciprocated.
I'm saying it's a construct. As a construct, it's stalking behavior. Right. You're not a stalker. You don't mean anything wrong with her.
Yeah.
It's not unethical.
Definitely, I can understand it.
Yeah, for you, it's that kind of behavior. Yeah. It's an obsession. It's one day. And if you can just be her friend, then cool, be her friend. Then it's not anything.
Yeah. But, was that your question? This is kind of a pattern, or was it for you that like a lot of women, or is it more about this one woman? Your question.
I think it's more this one woman.
It's been 3 years.
It's complicated. Yeah, it's been a complicated relationship because it's not only you know, we not only talk about ourselves and her, we don't really talk about her current situation. You know, we talk like really good friends. We check in with each other daily.
Then you're friends, but there's no sexual energy that would make it a relationship. We've never even kissed.
Right. So then what's
the question then? How can we help you with it?
I'm trying to emotionally move on.
Yeah.
One, because that's kind of the hardest part is as I try to start dating, I always find myself just coming back to her energy, her attention.
Right. So it's you got to pull back on that. It's a safety net for me. Right. Of course. So we sleep with our exes and you know, it's the same thing. It's comfortable. It's safe. She knows you, you know her. But if you really want to be in a relationship, the more that you talk to her and the more that you keep her in your world, it's not that you can't be friends, but you're just going to have to ease, you know, you're going to have to ease up on it. It's practice. Yeah. And she has been a part of your life and I get it. But I tell people to break up with somebody, it's like, you can't keep talking to them all the time.
And what do we tell people?
We tell 6 months, a year without talking, don't talk on Facebook.
It's like an addiction. It's the same part of the brain.
It is like an addiction. Same part of the brain going on.
Yeah.
It is an addiction.
You have to break it. You have to break the biology and then you can go back and be okay.
Yeah. But if you really are serious about a relationship, you do have to break it with her. And I know it's really hard because you're close and intimate, but you're just going to have to, if you can pull back, that's great, but you probably have to go cold turkey. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. I can see that.
Okay.
Or get some therapy, get some support. You have somebody in your corner really process all
this
stuff.
Huge fan of therapy.
Yeah.
If you haven't had therapy yet, go, you know, tomorrow.
No, definitely. Okay. My emotional support group.
Perfect. Okay, good.
Your emotional support.
You have an emotional support group already.
Yeah.
That's code for something.
What does that mean?
Well, we've got a very good group of friends. You know, between health issues and personal issues, we just try to be there for each other.
What are the health issues?
What
are the health issues?
Well, within the social circle, there are members that are suffering from. Worry about you.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
Okay. I'm just saying therapy, you know, your friends, I have amazing friends and family too, but therapy does it like nothing else. If this has been something that's been in your life for a while, you know, could be helpful.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Art. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Have a great day. Bye. Yeah. Stalker.
But well, he's not a stalker. He's not a stalker.
But I'm like, but
I have to use that language to get through to people.
I think it does. It's true.
Or you could use the addiction language. It's the same thing. You're addicted to this woman. You're craving. You're fine. You can't break the habit.
It is just like the breakup. You got to do it. Yeah.
And it's the same part of the brain. I mean, I'm familiar with that part of the brain. And so I know when people are responding to that reward system.
I mean, we were saying we heard so much. He was 40, but we hear about this so much more now from men, young men on the show.
Oh my God.
Millennials, men more than women who are like obsessed with their first love.
They really
their
are partners. Stalking those guys. Yeah.
Those guys are. What you're talking about. Those are the stalkers that we talk about.
I choose my language carefully. Stalking behavior is not you are stalking or you are a stalker. It's like spectrum behavior. You know what I mean?
I got it. It's on the spectrum of stalking.
Yeah. Well, it's related to it. That's why I want people to think about that because it kind of wakes you up. You go, oh, that is kind of what I'm doing, isn't it? I'm really not doing that, but if I did a little more, that's what that would be.
But yeah. He's seeing it as a mutual, they're both, you know.
He's in denial too. He's addicted.
Well, let's see what happens. It is addictive behavior and it's true. Even with friends, it's hard to give up.
I want to protect him from this.
I do too. Yeah. He did it. I think that was good. He woke. I think he's going to wake up. Right. I think we woke him up.
Right.
Okay, we have Carmen, 31, from San Francisco. I love San Francisco. And Carmen and her boyfriend haven't had good sober sex and they're both struggling to find her G-spot.
Wait a minute. Slow down. Is so really sober? Yeah. Or are we like?
I don't
using
know. We're going to ask her.
Okay.
Carmen, hi. This is Emily. Dr. Drew's here with me. Dr. Drew Pinsky. You've got two of us here on the case today.
Hi there. How are you?
You're great. What's happening?
So like Emily was saying, I've been with my boyfriend for almost a year now. And since the beginning, I would say about 2 to 3 months into it, he had opened up feeling sexually frustrated and
what does that mean?
Right, exactly. So I asked him to elaborate and he pretty much told me that I wasn't aggressive.
I'm trying to translate through the young male prism. Is he in his 20s sure. still?
No, we're both 31.
Okay. So I'm imagining he means you're not initiating enough.
Well, that's the funny part because he's even admitted that I initiate more than him.
So then what does he mean by aggressive? He wants you to dominate him?
see, this is what I've asked, because he's not, I've asked him that, like, he's not into like the BDSM thing or anything like that, but he has trouble explaining the aggression. I'm not sure. I know that he's been married before, and his past relationship with his wife, they had a very abusive relationship. Uh-oh. And so I don't know if, you know, it's more like hate sex that he's referring to. Ooh. But apparently he wants me to take the lead sometimes, I guess, and I'm not doing it, even though I feel like I am.
Can he be more descriptive?
He's got to be more, like, yeah. Could you watch some porn together that shows what kind of sexual acts he's depicted, you know, he has in his mind, or right. He'd like to, I mean, I really think this is interesting to me. Like, I'm thinking,
did you guys
that,
watch Big Little Lies? Did he like that kind of sex?
I see that.
Oh, it's so good.
That's funny. I've been wanting him to see that.
Well, maybe it
well,
seems
if
like
it's that,
some,
if it's that, then run airlift into a therapist's office.
You need some, right, you need yeah. some visuals here. You need, if he can't express it in words, which I can understand, sometimes it's just hard to explain things that you're feeling or that you want, but it's not fair for him just to say aggressive. I want more of this. I want, you know, and you initiate more than I do.
To be fair, young men really have trouble. We have tough times.
But he wants something
I
so bad. This is the main issue.
I just
like,
want to, it's hard for us to describe it sometimes. Right. So I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But I totally agree with Emily. Watch things, or, you know, look at it. Do you like that? Do you want this? How about that?
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of like point things out like a kid, like a little picture.
But I'm a little worried. I'm a little, are you nervous too, what you're going to find out?
Not so nervous. I just wish he was more open with me about it, because he shuts down. He tells me that he's never had an issue in his past relationship with, you know, maybe a girl not climaxing or.
Oh, you're not having an orgasm.
Yeah, that's the other problem, is I'm not having orgasms, and I'm obviously not faking it with him, and I'm explaining him this. Good. And he gets frustrated, and he says that he's never had that issue before in the past, and that I need to figure it out.
Okay, hold on. Number one, that's not
that's
fair.
That's
not
true.
Fair. It's
not
fair,
not true. Yeah.
How many partners has he had, do you know?
He divorced about 2 years ago, and since that, he said he's dated a lot, but I don't think he's actually seriously dated anyone since me. I think they're all okay, been
so,
kind of
so you've been with like one or two
so
people
he doesn't
in his
understand
life.
How women work.
Women, most women don't have orgasms during intercourse.
Yeah, vast majority.
30%. Right, and I told him this.
Yeah. Only 30% do.
He doesn't believe,
do. He doesn't believe
listen,
you. Does he not listen? You guys should just this is what you do: watch some porn, listen to this podcast yeah. together. A lot of couples find it really helpful to listen to this
so
podcast because it's so
in,
hard to talk about sex.
In a year, he's not focusing on oral sex for you.
Hey, yeah, how about oral sex?
Oh, no, yeah, no, oral sex, he does oral for me, and I'm fine. I usually get off like that,
yeah.
But it's more vaginal. I cannot come.
No, that's you. That's just the way you
come
are.
If I do oral on him.
Yeah. Well, that's, I miss some matter that way, too.
Yeah.
But
it's okay for him not to come from your blowjob, but then you can't come during sex, and he yeah. just still hasn't gotten the memo, which everybody should know by now, that women don't orgasm during
intercourse. Most women have an orgasm with oral sex. That's how they do it.
Yeah,
many. If he's going to be, that's most women, and he's going to be very disappointed out in the world.
If he's only been, yeah.
I mean, that's so ridiculous on his
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
And he doesn't
yeah.
want to work with you. I'm not, he's like told you to go figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not loving this language. I know you're not worried about what he's going to find out, but I was feeling a little nervous too when you were saying aggressive, but it's not about initiation.
I think it is. I think it's all right. about the orgasm, though. I really think it is.
It can be.
And,
he
and
feels
so he thinks if she
less
can,
of a male.
Well, no, he thinks if she can do what she needs to do, she'll have an orgasm, but she's not doing what she needs to do.
But
she won't,
you don't know
she
what
won't
you need
take
to do.
A,
right.
She can't do anything except have him give her oral sex. That's yeah. what she can do.
No, but he wants her to have an orgasm during penetration.
But it's not going to happen.
Right, but he doesn't
right.
believe her.
Right.
So, God, I mean, yeah. Google it. Go to my website. I have a million blogs on there. I mean, this is just scientific facts, evidence, women polls. A million of them have been done that women, it's just, they just not common. I mean, 30% can, and of right. those women, it's not every single time. But you could go looking right. for your G-spot together because you haven't yet, though. Here's the other thing, sweetie. Just because you haven't had an orgasm yet with him doesn't mean you won't during intercourse.
I wouldn't give this guy that yet, because that's what, graduate
isn't
school
it?
For this guy. He's got to first really get it right.
It could be fun. You guys could go doing it together. Like
it could
buy
be, but
some,
I'm just saying, if she, then he'll
buy
be
the
like
rave.
Totally focused on them. Every, he won't let, you know, I just know how he's mm-hmm. going to be. He's going to be completely about that. And, you know, all about fixing her and making it right. And why can't she?
But it's better than saying go
to,
fix it on your
well,
own.
But first of all, I'm saying focus on her pleasure and do that for a few
months.
But he
months. Does.
Get
she's
that,
having
that
the
right.
oral. That's not the problem. The
oh,
problem is that she's not. It's,
no,
that
it
he
sounds
feels
like she was
less
unsatisfied
of
too. No?
No, are you not satisfied?
I'm not satisfied because I can't come. But like he is very passionate and he does focus on me a lot. But I would say, honestly, the last couple of months, though, they have been purely quickies. And
but that's not gonna happen.
That's been, I think, the most unsatisfied.
Yeah,
that I've been.
And
yeah.
is he making sure that you're at least having another kind of orgasm when you do the quickies?
No, not really.
Okay, that's then that's the conversation you say with him. Say, I can explain this. Unlike your aggressive sex you want, guess what I can explain? During that quickie, I wasn't even turned on. I didn't even see you walk in the room. You had an orgasm, and I'm not even turned on
yet. And
you
also,
left.
Let me translate for him. I know what he means by aggressive sex now. I know what he means. He wants her to take control and do whatever she needs to do with him.
So she has the orgasm, right, and he could leave in 15 minutes or less.
Or whatever, but she's not taking control and showing him what he needs. You know,
he wants you to be riding on top like in porn and having like three orgasms on top of his penis. That's what he wants. I got it. You're right, Drew. I think he's watching porn. He's like, do that, be aggressive.
And that's not,
meaning be aggressive with yourself, so you can make yourself calm on top of me.
Exactly. Or wherever. Oh, however.
We got this. Yeah, that's it, honey. And you know what? Fuck him. No,
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Now
I'm pissed
I'm angry.
Too. Yeah.
Fuck now him. I'm angry.
That's right. That's why I was saying
don't go
to the G-spot thing yet.
Well, I just
that's
think
a reward
he's
for him
learn
later.
Something about
maybe.
Female anatomy and the way women work. And like, it's not that simple. Like, he's not turning you on. He's not doing foreplay. Maybe he did at the beginning and now he's into quickies, but just do your thing. Like, you know, and I'm not saying he can't learn this. I don't mean fuck him. I never say that. That's really not something I would say. I'm sure he's a great dude. You're making me all aggressive, just like your boyfriend. This would be like me. Tell him to fuck out. No, but I really think that this. Do you love this guy? How long have you been together?
A year.
Okay. I mean, I'd say the sex. Don't let it just. This. You're going to keep having quickies, and then you're going to have minute minutiae. What's less than a quickie?
Well, but the point is, listen. All we need to do here's the bottom line here.
Yeah,
let's wrap this up.
We got to wrap.
I got to wrap.
Drew's got to go.
But the bottom
you're awesome,
line is.
Carmen.
Bottom line is it's Carmen, right?
Carmen,
the bottom line is
San Diego.
You're on it.
San Francisco.
You got it right. We are backing you 100%. We support you. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying and what you're feeling. He's a little off base. He's been distorted by his marriage, where obviously she was a different biology. And he thought, you know, men are all... Or porn, which doesn't help. And what men think, they figure one woman out. They figure that's how they all are. We do that as men. And you've got to bring him up into reality.
Yep.
And that's not his fault, but he needs to, in the meantime, be much more... What would the word be? Empathic? I don't think that's quite enough.
I don't know. He's
reasonable. Just reasonable about
what
is.
Yeah, he's
got
to be willing
is.
To know what he doesn't know. Yeah. He got to admit that there's some things that he doesn't know. That he might be wrong in this case and to listen to some podcasts.
But we got you. We are in your corner.
Yeah, we got you, Carmen.
Okay.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you.
Don't give up the fight. Bye,
so
sweetie.
Much,
have a great day.
Bye. Emily, it's always fun. I got to go.
Oh, Drew.
I know. I know.
Love seeing you. Thank you for
ridiculous.
Being here. Everyone check out.
We just go right back into our old mode.
I know. We got to come back. Come back soon. Everyone check out Drew's podcast, drdrew.com.
Yeah, please check it
They're
out.
They're on the website and all his Twitter
Thank
and stuff.
Thank
you
for the We Wish vibe, whatever.
The Wish vibe by We Vibe. You're going to love it. I should give you some Joe Lou before you go.
Okay. A backpack full of it, you said.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you want. Okay, that was a good time. I love having my friend Dr. Drew here, and it's really such a pleasure talking to everybody. It feels really good. I feel very connected to you during the calls and reading your emails and all of that. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And thanks for subscribing to the show. We're actually doing 3 shows now a week, at least for a little bit. We definitely do shows on Tuesdays and Fridays. We've got some quickie shows coming out in the middle of the week. It really helps if you subscribe to the show, just because then you never miss a show. And you can also review us on iTunes. We appreciate that. I just appreciate you. And thanks to my amazing team. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.